It's good to be together again today, isn't it? Another day of life and living is a gift, pure gift of God. Let's not take for granted this day or any other day that we have, because God has given us fresh air to breathe into our lungs. And let's dig back into the life and ministry of Jesus in Mark's Gospel. Yesterday I read extensively from Mark chapter 1, and we learned a lot. We witnessed Jesus and his first four followers on the move throughout the district of Galilee, right along the sea. And we read about Jesus setting people free of unclean spirits, demons, and healing people of fever. That was Simon's mother-in-law in verse 31. And many who appeared at his door with various diseases, verse 34. And then we came into the healing of this leprous man in Mark 1 and verse 40. If you have not had a chance to do so, sit down with your Bible and just read Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 45. It's not too late to do so. We're just getting started. So that's Mark 1, verses 14 to 45. You'll read about the same encounters Jesus had with the demon-possessed and the sick that we, who were here yesterday, read about. And if you missed the broadcast, you can always get that as a podcast. Information on how to download that will be given at the end today. As we come again to this true story of how Jesus healed the man with leprosy, I want to give you six insights. First, highlight the word compassion in verse 41. Mark 1, verse 41 says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper." What did Jesus feel towards this man? Compassion. And in Greek, this word means to be moved in the inward parts, to be moved in the emotions, moved in the heart for pity, for compassion, and listen, for mercy. Jesus felt a strong emotion for this man. In his inner person, Jesus is moved with compassion for this man, and that compassion is reflective of the mercy of God. Second, I want you to know what leprosy is. And here I'll quote from the CDC. That's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website. Quote, "Hansen's disease, also known as leprosy, is an infection caused by slow-growing bacteria. It can affect the nerves, skin, eyes, and lining of the nose. With early diagnosis and treatment, the disease can be cured. People with Hansen's disease can continue to work and lead an active life during and after treatment. Leprosy was once feared as a highly contagious and devastating disease, but now we know it doesn't spread easily and treatment is very effective. However, if left untreated, the nerve damage can result in crippling of hands and feet, paralysis, and blindness." Unquote. Thanks to these medical advancements, people who get leprosy today can be treated and healed, but not so in Jesus' day. All throughout the Bible, we read about leprosy. If this is of interest to you, I highly recommend that you read Leviticus chapter 13 and Numbers chapters 5 and 12. Numbers 12 is particularly interesting because there Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, is struck with leprosy by God. You can read about the physical and spiritual effects this had on her life. But whenever you read about leprosy in the Bible, you will find that this disease required the sufferer to live outside the camp or the city because the sufferer was considered unclean, according to the law of God. Lepers were ceremonially unclean and therefore treated as outcasts in the Jewish society. Also in ancient Israel, leprosy was an illustration of the consequences of sin. Leprosy served as an object lesson on sin, and so leprosy and sin are somewhat synonymous in the Old Testament. Now, there's much to leprosy biblically, but I do not have time to fully explore this with you, at least today. And that leads me to my third insight. The leper here in Mark 1 is desperately needy. He's desperately needy. The man, whoever he was, is in wretched shape. Not only is he sick, but he's really sick. In Luke's account of this same leper over in Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, he recounts, "There was a man covered with leprosy." He's got it bad. He's covered and he's been cast out of the society. He's more than fringe. He's beyond the fringe. And this makes him desperate for a cure, but there is no cure. So he has a real pronounced need, you see. But notice what the leper does with his desperate need. My fourth insight is this. The leper believed that Jesus could heal him. The leper had faith in Jesus Christ. We see this in two ways. It's in what he does, and it's in what he says. I'll reread Mark 1 and verse 40 and then show you what I mean. Listen for it as I read. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before Jesus and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." What does the leper do? He falls on his knees before Jesus. The posture of his body before the Lord reveals what he thinks about Jesus. He bows before Jesus as one would bow before a king, pleading for mercy. This man believes that Jesus can heal him, and he's down on his knees begging for Christ's mercy. And then he speaks. Mark quotes him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It's a statement we should read carefully. And let me reverse the order to these two statements as a way to clarify its importance. So the second statement first is, "You can make me clean." That's faith, belief, trust. The leper believes Jesus can definitely make him clean. The only question is, will Christ be willing? And that's the first statement, which I take second. If you are willing. Because the leper figures, if Jesus is willing, then Jesus will heal me. The power to heal is never in doubt for the leper. The only question is Jesus willing? I am not sure about you, but this leper and how he seemingly pops out of nowhere in Mark's gospel mesmerizes me. Where did he come from, and why did he have such confidence in Christ? He was given a supernatural faith from God the Father, and he used it to approach God the Son, Jesus. This is faith in action. If you are willing, you can make me clean. We can learn about faith from this leper. We can learn a lot about faith from him. Now, Jesus is about to answer. However, we notice that Jesus does something first. Jesus makes a move. And here's my fifth insight. Jesus touches the leper. Please note, Jesus touched him. I'm reading Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Oh, that's so important. This is reflective of the compassion and mercy of Jesus to this man. Touch. And touch for a wretched disease that was considered contagious. Touch for the first time in a long time because the man was separated from other people. Touch by the clean for the unclean. Jesus shows compassion when he touches. God demonstrates his mercy through Christ as the God-man, that is Jesus, touched the leper. No other rabbi would dare touch this leper. But Jesus did. Touch is so valuable for us as desperately needy people. As Christ people living in our towns and cities, people all around us are yearning for appropriate, godly touch. A high five, a hand on a shoulder, even a hug can really lift a person's spirits. I'll be transparent. I do not always give money to people begging for it in the train station or down on the street corner. But when I do, I often offer them my touch as well. I may shake their hand or put my hand on their shoulder and give them a firm squeeze, as if to say, "We're both human, brother. I hope that God will meet your needs." I've been amazed that each time I do this, I get such a positive, warm reaction from the person who's asking for the money. And we need that, all of us, because in some way, all of us are desperately needy. God's mercy comes through God's touch. And that's why Jesus is remarkable. He is God in human flesh, God incarnate. And when this leper comes begging for help, Jesus touches him. God is with you, man. God's going to meet your desperate need. In his touch, Jesus assures this man of the coming provision. Indeed, God is merciful, and the mercy is in the stretching out of Jesus' hand to touch him. And notice how it is only after Jesus touches him that Jesus answers the man's question. Let me read verse 41 again. Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Wow. I am willing. What must that have been like for the begging, beseeching leper to hear? I mean, can you just imagine that? Think about it. Do not let this moment in the story pass you by. If you are willing, I am willing. An epic moment in the life of the leper. This is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the perfect human being, totally clean, who extends his hand and touches the leper. A leper who has never, at least as long as he's had this leprosy, been touched by anyone. And then my sixth insight, verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. When Jesus heals a person in the Bible, the person is instantaneously and completely healed. Ah, the compassionate Christ and the mercy of God. We're only in the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, and here's the mercy of God on full display. And what we'll do next time is go sweeping down through the text and come upon another example of God's mercy ministered through the life of Jesus. So please come back on Monday for that. But as we end today, let me ask you, are you in need of God's mercy? For what? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he can be merciful to you? Will you trust in him? If you want to know more about Jesus and how he can meet your need, I'll be happy to tell you more about him anytime. And you can reach me via email and snail mail this weekend. Here's my email address that will be repeated in a few moments, mark@markaswallow.com. And here's my snail mail. God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. In preparation for the next broadcast, please read ahead in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 and read verses 33 to 44. Just pick up your Bible and read Mark chapter 6, verses 33 to 44. And as you read, look for the compassion and mercy of Christ on display in these verses. It's true, God is merciful. Join me again on Monday, for God is merciful.